The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
In there. But I thank God that when I was sitting on the edge, Woo! The song said, so I. Ooh, I thank God. I thank God that when I couldn't keep myself, my God was there to keep me. Not just my body, but God, he kept me in my right mind. Woo! He kept me. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we thank you, Lord, for being a mighty good keeper. We thank you, Lord, for being a lawyer in the courtroom, for being our doctor, for being a mother to the motherless, and maybe a father to the fatherless. For somebody, you're a friend to the friendless, and for all of us, you're bringing us hope. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we recognize that we could not keep ourselves, but it's you who's kept us. We couldn't save ourselves, so you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. You've been good to us, not just on yesterday, not just this week, but down through the years, you've been good to us. And Lord, we want to just say thank you right now. Thank you. Thank you. And not just us, Lord, we thank you for keeping our loved ones. And even now, Lord, we thank you for keeping the one who's sitting to our left and maybe to our right, the one in front and behind. Lord, we say thank you. For Lord, we recognize that it did not take any more grace to wake us up than it did our neighbors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood. The blood that still has power. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, as of right now, take over, hide me, that you would be seen, and silence me, that you would be heard. Even now, touch, heal, deliver, set free, break yokes in the name of Jesus. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. And all together we say, amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would do so. That song will lead right into to today's message. I think I heard, I don't know if it was while she was singing or when the brother was talking, said that his grace and mercy strengthens us. This morning in Sunday school, they were talking about a lesson, and it's from the book of Luke, and there were three practical points that they brought up that are going to tie into today's message. First of all, they said we cannot enter the kingdom of God by working hard or doing good deeds. However, we must be careful, however, to follow God's commands as outlined in the Bible. Then the last practical point says having an acquaintanceship with God is simply not enough. We're going to break it down a little bit more in the message. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to jump all the way down to the end of the chapter to read verse 31. Familiar verse of scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The King James Version of the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. For just a little while on this Sunday, July the 22nd, we want to consider the subject today, the promise and the manifestation. The promise and the manifestation. You may be seated in the presence of our God. The promise and the manifestation. I've said to you before that anytime we open up the Word of God, regardless of what you think about the Scripture, regardless of whether you feel like you've been there before, there's always a couple of questions we need to ask ourselves. Number one, we need to ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying about me? And then even maybe what do you want to say through me? All right? Because when the Holy Spirit sent me back once again to revisit this very familiar passage of Scripture, I'll be honest. I'm just being honest today. I was curious as to why. Amen. I was curious as to why, because of course we've read this verse before, we've seen this verse before, we've probably heard it preached and studied, et cetera, et cetera. But then the Holy Spirit quickly reminded me, Miller, that oftentimes when we read Scripture, we read over it so fast that we often miss some things. But even more than that, we miss things especially when we get too comfortable. Come on, somebody. Or when we get too familiar with Scripture and we think we've gotten everything that we're supposed to get out of it. And so the Holy Spirit sent me back here. And so taking another look at this verse together, first of all, we see, and this may be familiar, but just if we want to build up to this thing, we see three different levels or aspects, if you will, teach Holy Ghost. Now, remember about the number three. For the number three is very significant in Scripture because it generally represents fullness, perfection, or completeness, all right? The number three levels here, all right? Think about it. There's past, present, future. There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Am I talking to any Bible readers in here? There's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm just talking about the number three. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute, watch this. There's his one more. There were three people who died on Calvary. Amen. One died in sin, one died to sin, and one died for sin. Did I say something up in here? Come on, somebody. Amen. So when we look at this scripture once more and again and dissect it maybe a little bit more, there just might be something that the Holy Spirit wants to say to you, certainly to me, or maybe all of us, to meet us right where we are in these days and times. So let's just open up the verse. First thing it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And let's pause right there. As a matter of fact, I believe in your Bible, it probably has a semicolon. Semicolon is unique because it's got a comma on top of a period. Come on, somebody. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So minimally, we should pause, but there's a complete thought there. Amen? So first of all, if you're taking notes or if you write in your Bible, I want you to underline just that portion of Scripture. Just underline, or maybe put a bracket just around that portion. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And in that, I want you to not only highlight it or underline it in a bracket, but I want you to write in the margin, I want you to write, this is a promise. Teach, Holy Ghost. This is a promise. Good God Almighty. In other words, if you wait upon the Lord, remember, to wait is to wait expectantly. You're not just sitting like a bump on a log. It's to wait with expectantly, but you also are waiting patiently, but also while you're waiting, you are serving thoroughly. But it's to wait in anticipation of, what am I anticipating? I'm anticipating my shall renew. Come on, somebody. Amen. To renew, it means to restore or to wait or to replenish. Amen. It means to revive. And it says to renew your strength. In other words, that's the quality of being strong, having courage, power, and vigor. You best believe we need some folk with some strength and power in the house of God. Amen. Now, here comes the teaching moment. Because after the promise, if you're taking notes, write this down. After the promise comes the manifestation of the promise. Teach, Holy Ghost. But see, you can't just rush through that verse. So now we get the promise. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. After the promise comes the manifestation of the promise. So what's the manifestation? Watch the text. First thing is, they said they shall mount up with wings as eagles. This means this is to soar. Amen. Amen. Now let's just be honest. Everyone likes to soar. Amen. Because soaring means I'm above my troubles. Amen. Now, of course, you've heard this before about eagles. Amazingly, eagles, they actually soar and fly higher than any other bird in the land. Amen. As a matter of fact, their average speeds of about 120 miles per hour in level flight. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been able to drive that fast. Now, somebody else may say, you have? Then you know what that's like. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. And they've actually been clocked at 150 miles per hour. Now, we've heard this before about the eagle. The eagle has wings that are so powerful that when the storm is approaching, I'm talking about the eagle doesn't do what? They don't fly away from the storm. They do what? They fly right into it. And they fly right into the storm until it reaches the mountain peak. And then when it gets to the mountain peak, Keeling, it takes its powerful talons and grips the mountain. And it stays there until the storm has passed. So when we hear this part of the scripture verse, we often get excited. We get excited because if we wait upon the Lord, we will soar, amen. And that's true. However, that's only part of the verse. That's what they call emotional excitement. We get emotional. We get excited. Now, let me explain something right through here. Because there's nothing wrong with emotionalism. There's nothing wrong with getting emotionally excited. Every now and then, I want to drop some emotional right into the middle of some worship services. Come on, somebody. Amen. Every now and then, you might want to do a mirror test on your neighbor in some worship services because you don't know. Because there's nothing coming out of them. Amen. But here's the problem. Here's what the teaching comes in. You can be emotional, however, without being spiritual. I say it again. I said you can be emotional without being spiritual, and that's where the problem lies. Amen. So let's keep following the text. But however, there is a manifestation that if I wait upon the Lord, I shall renew my strength, and as a result, I shall mount up with wings as eagles. Well, what's the next thing? It says they shall run and not be weary. Now think about this for a moment. people praise runners because runners show an ability to endure. Mm-hmm. So when the runner carrying the torch for the Olympic comes into the stadium, people actually stand up and they cheer as they run up the stairs. If you ever watched a marathon, at a marathon at the finish line, people are always cheering as the runners cross the finish line. Sometimes it doesn't even matter what position you came in, as long as you crossed the finish line, people are cheering for you. See, that's good news for somebody. For somebody, we need you to run and not be weary, because minimally that's good news with your renewed strength that you can endure, and minimally, even as tired as you are, cross the finish line. And they are praised as runners. But here's the teaching. People love praise. They love to be praised. Amen. And that's okay. From the pulpit to the door, everyone likes to be praised. Praise is emotionally stimulating. Amen. Everyone likes to hear from someone else that maybe they did something good or something that was positive or something that was praiseworthy that helped you maybe or benefited you in some way, shape, or form. It makes you feel good. But again, praise is emotionally stimulating. And remember what I said, you can be emotional without being spiritual. So let's keep going, because the last part of that verse, the meat of it, says, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I want to spend a little bit more time right here. Now, think about this for a moment. Walkers aren't praised like runners. Mm-mm. They're not praised like runners are praised. Matter of fact, walking is not even as exciting as soaring. Amen. However, walking is very important in your relationship with God. Soaring and running are comparative to Sunday morning worship's experience. You see, people come to church on Sunday morning and they're moved or they're motivated by a worship style or worship music or you know, and being in an environment of praise and so forth. And again, I'm not saying those aren't bad things, but the problem is when you've done run and jumped and foaming at the mouth and you come down and you got to go home, the sustainability of all of that goes with, yes, you've sorted your problems. Yes, you've been able to find out that you can endure, but how's your walk? How do you walk all the rest of the week? Amen. Churches are filling up on Sunday, and church folk are falling apart Sunday to Sunday. Amen. Because you see, in the presence of people, hear me today, I can show you my excitement. I can become emotionally stimulated. I can move to the beat of the music and get caught up in the emotionalism of the service, but it's my walk that tells about my relationship with God. Every now and then, however, I do want to just raise up an emotional meter, you know, just to see where the meter is. Come on, somebody. Amen. But here it is. But you can't tell if I'm walking or not just by what you see on Sunday morning. I said, you really can't see if I'm walking or not just by what you see on Sunday morning. Well, here's another way of thinking about that. In the natural, all right, in the natural, you may not know necessarily whether I do a lot of walking. Amen. You may not know whether or not I do any walking. Amen. For exercise or anything or for my health benefits. But when I go to the doctor, come on somebody, when I go to the doctor for my checkup, what they're able to do is do a test, Sister Graham, on my heart, and they're able to tell of whether or not I've been getting enough walking in during the week or building up to my test. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, tell them, neighbor, walking benefits your heart. It does. I mean, studies have shown that those who walk throughout their lifetime experience a few more benefits that some other folk miss out on because they don't do any walking. They tell me that walkers are better able to control their cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar levels. I got some nurses in here. They are less risk of becoming diabetic and actually may be at lower risk for heart disease. The reduced risk of developing a life-threatening disease alone explains how routine walking can predict a longer lifespan. Walkers also have enhanced cardiovascular endurance, which does what? It makes it easier for them to move around in their daily lives. Things from like just picking up a baby or picking up something that they dropped on the floor becomes easier for them simply because they've made walking a part of their daily routine. Well, it's the same in the spiritual. We all have an appointment with our physician. And he's going to check our hearts to see if we've been walking with him or not. You see, when you walk with God, now, these days you got to be careful when folks say that I serve God. You need to say, who's your God? I'm talking about the Almighty God. I'm talking about the creator of the universe. I'm talking about that God. When you walk with that God, you can endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you walk with him, you become more like him. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. You're going to have to write this one down. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 gives us a glimpse of God's desire for us. It says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Watch this, to act justly and to love mercy and wait a minute and to walk humbly with your God. Walking with God, however, is not an activity reserved for just a select few. They were talking about that earlier, about just a few folk that some groups say they're going to make it into heaven. No, my Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It has nothing to do with my race, my creed, where I grew up, who I am, what my denomination is. So we got to be careful with that. The Bible is clear. But the Bible is also clear there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Amen. But while we're on this side of time, we got to be careful. We're not just talking a good game. But the Bible says there has to be some manifestation of the promise that you say you have from God. Wait a minute. Micah says, listen, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, when we talk about walking, my mind goes back to some of those old songs we used to sing years ago. You remember that song, Walk With Me, Lord? Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want who? Jesus. Come on, somebody. To walk with me. But we're taking this familiar verse and we're talking about the promise and the manifestation of the promise. Here in Isaiah 40, 31, again, the promise, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a promise. But one of the manifestations of the promise in the verse is, and they shall walk and not faint. Can I drop something right in the middle here? Correct me if I'm wrong, but so often there's a huge disparity between what we say and what we actually do. Yet the Bible makes the connection, and it makes the connection clear that it links up believing to behavior. I'll say it again. Believing and behavior are linked up. They are inseparable, amen. And when you try to divorce those two terms, at least in when it relates to Christianity, in the end, what we get is some mixed up mixture of truth and a whole lot of error. That's what's happening in today's church. We got a whole lot of mixture of truth and a whole lot of error, and folk are erroring on the wrong side of truth. Amen. Amen. But there's no doubt that a great importance, yes, is placed on the things we say. The scriptures make it clear. Listen, write these down, and when you get time, read them. Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then wait a minute, here's one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I have believed, therefore I have spoken. So yes, there is emphasis on the stuff that we say. Here's the problem. I thought about this when you all were talking in Sunday school, and I think about this sometimes in our day-to-day living. The problem comes from when we place all of the importance on the confession or only on that which we've spoken, and not enough emphasis on the obedience that's implied in the confession or in what we speak. Amen. It's just as important, if not more, to walk the talk. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you can earn your way into heaven just on the things you say, but hear me today. We live in a very religious world. From the White House to the church house. But true religion is defined by our walk more often than our talk. Amen. Think about this for a moment. Leaders are falling from the White House to the church house and everywhere in between. Leaders are falling around us, watch this, not because of their talk. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the talk that's coming out of these folks' mouth is foolish. Wait a minute. From the White House to the church house and everything in between. Amen. But leaders around us are falling not because of their talk. They're falling because of their walk. Amen. Amen. See, today you hear people making a whole lot of resolutions and promises to improve and do better or be better. They say, I'm going to pray more. Well, walk the talk. People say, I'm going to be more involved in ministry at my church or in my community. Then walk the talk. I'm going to study my Bible more. Okay. Well, walk the talk. I'm going to be more hospitable. I'm going to be just a nicer person, more pleasant to be around. You might want to turn to your neighbor. No, don't do it. Tell them, walk the talk. Amen. I'm going to increase my tithe and give more. Some of y'all said it's January 1, it's July 22nd. It's okay. Walk the talk. Amen. I'm going to heaven. Some folk think anyhow. No, you better walk that talk. Why? Because our lives should match what we preach, teach, and or say. In other words, our actions should be a reflection of our beliefs. I'll say it again. Our actions should be a reflection of our beliefs. And it could be that they are. So sometimes, and wherever you go to church, when you see folks sitting on their praise, their action might be a reflection of their belief. Because there are some people who believe that God is committing child abuse when it comes to them. There are some people who think that, Lord, this just is not fair, especially when it comes to me and my circumstances. Because we sing the song, I've seen you work in others, and I want you to work in me. And you know, folk get the rocking. But when they don't see it working in them, you best believe sometimes our actions match up with our beliefs. Because there are times when we can be in church, in the presence of God, under the gospel of God, and yet not be moved, not because the music is loud, but because the word hasn't taken planted in your heart. Why? Because we got some folk that wanted the practical points. Point number five, I thought about this. It wasn't when I put my mess together. Practical point number five in the Sunday school said, some people will be surprised or angry to learn they will not enter heaven. Why? Because just because you say you a Christian, just because you say you going to heaven, does not mean that you going to heaven. Amen. Because even Jesus himself said, some will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this or that in your name? And he's going to acknowledge that, but he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you. Wait a minute. I knew about you the same way you only knew about me. So I know all about your works, but I never knew you. Why? Because you never got to know me. You did a whole lot of talking, trying to impress folk, got emotional, trying to impress folk, got all religious and super spiritual, trying to impress folk. But there's nothing sustainable about that. You can be emotional and not still be spiritual. Because our lives should match what we preach, teach, and or say. Listen, that's the manifestation of the promise. As a matter of fact, let me back up a few verses as I get ready to close here in Isaiah. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, he identifies it just like I did. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. He says there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He's just talking about folk in their condition. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. All that other stuff are the conditions of some folk. He said, listen, even young folk, listen, even the youth shall faint and be weary. But it has nothing to do with your age. And he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's the promise. But you best believe, if you're trying to walk with God, understand, the devil is not just uncomfortable, he's mad. He's mad. And he's going to do whatever he can to affect your walk with God. Why? Because he knows that if he can affect your walk, he might not can keep you from crying. He may not be able to keep you from running, jumping, and shouting. He might not be able to keep you from clapping your hands. Half the time we clap our hands because somebody say, put your hands together. Amen. See, devil's not worried about that. But if he can affect your walk, that how are you walking the rest of the week? Then he knows that ultimately he can affect and even destroy your relationship with God. We all have to understand that we are all in the process of transformation. God is renewing us through Christ. But the manifestation of our transformation and our renewal that we say is taking place in our lives has to be more than just saying the right things. It has to be more than that. Be honest. Don't just say you're going to change. You have to walk the talk. Don't just talk a good game, but walk the talk. It has to be no more do as I say and not as I do. We got to learn, even as children of God, to walk the talk. Here's a big one. No more excuses of talking about being wrapped in flesh. Always talking about the old man or woman rising up. No, it's time to walk the talk. Because if you were in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Here's one. No more hiding under the covers of darkness. For somebody, it's time to walk the talk. And the last one I want to simply say is no more finger pointing. We got to be careful blaming our walk and our actions on something or somebody else. We got to stop making it always somebody else's fault. We got to be careful of saying, see what you made me do? See what you made me say? See how you had me to act toward you? See how you have me treating you? You do not have to subject yourself to that. We have to make sure we understand the promise. And the promise to those of us who are believers, to those of us who are children of the Most High God, is that, yeah, you're enduring some stuff, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And after the promise comes the manifestation of the promise. I thank God that there are times when I can soar like an eagle above my circumstances, my trials, and my tribulations. I thank God that there's some stuff that, just like an eagle, that when the eagle flies into the storm, I got some stuff I got to face to fix. But I thank God as a progression of my promise that he says that you shall also run and not be weary. There are going to be some folk that are thankful that you stood tall, that are thankful that you were able, not that you didn't cry about your loss, that you kept going, and that you kept keeping on in the midst of. Oh, yeah, run and not be weary. But it's really that walk, that when nobody's looking, or maybe when they are looking, that when they don't see, how do you act when folk aren't patting you on the back? How do you act when you can't quite get above your circumstances? It's the walk. And I need you to walk and not faint. And that becomes the manifestation of the promise. I read somewhere, and I didn't put it up there, but just hear it for your hearing. I read that faith keeps you strong. Trials keep you humble. Flaws keep you human. Hope keeps you walking, but God keeps you going. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open. Stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.